Representatives from the United Auto Workers Union meet in Detroit tomorrow to discuss a tentative labor agreement the union struck with General Motors today.
We're also going to make what is going to be a billion-dollar decision, give or take, as to whether or not the workers will stay out on the picket lines or go back to work while they await a ratification vote.
And a teacher strike is looming in Chicago over more than just pay and benefits.
You see them kind of go beyond just focus on the classroom to try to encompass some of the social issues, too.
It's Wednesday, October 16th. This is the PM edition of What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Turkey has rejected the U.S. call for an immediate ceasefire in northeast Syria. Last week, Turkey launched an offensive against Kurdish forces in the region after U.S. troops withdrew from the area. President Trump defended that decision on Wednesday, but denied that he gave Turkey permission to launch an offensive.
There was never given a green light. They've been wanting to do that for years, and frankly, they've been fighting for many, many years.
The House passed a resolution today with strong bipartisan support opposing the president's decision and urging the administration to contain the fallout from Turkey's incursion into Syria. Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will meet with Turkey's president in Ankara on Thursday. Huawei, the world's largest maker of telecommunications equipment, isn't seeing a slowdown in revenue growth, despite U.S. blacklisting. Huawei said smartphone shipments rose 26% in the first 9 months of the year, and revenue rose nearly a quarter over the same period. Our Dan Strump has more details.
The third quarter is actually a pretty significant period for Huawei because it's the first sort of full three-month period during which Huawei was subjected to the U.S. blacklisting, its entity listing by the Commerce Department, which is meant to cut the company off from American technology. So by the looks of the numbers that they've reported, the impact actually seems quite limited for the time being.
The report is still just a small piece of the picture. The company's update doesn't show the health of Huawei's 5G business, for example, which the U.S. has urged other countries to block over cybersecurity concerns. A Brexit deal is still possible in the next few hours, according to officials from the United Kingdom and the European Union. They've been working on a draft deal ahead of a summit in Brussels that starts tomorrow. If they don't reach a deal this week, it's unlikely Britain's parliament could formally ratify a plan before the planned exit from the EU on October 31st. For the latest developments, please head to our website, wsj.com. Auto workers at General Motors have been on strike for 31 days, but that may soon be coming to an end. The United Auto Workers Union and GM have reached a tentative labor deal. Union representatives will be in Detroit tomorrow to discuss its terms and what comes next. For more details, we turn to Mike Colias in Detroit. Mike, what are the terms of the tentative deal between GM and the United Auto Workers Union?
Yeah, right now neither side is delving into the details, but we do know from our reporting the general shape of the agreement, which, you know, we know that there's a combination of wage increases and bonuses in each of the 4 years. So the workers will get more pay in each of the 4 years of the contract if they agree to it, and we can talk about that in a minute. There's also a pathway to full-time employment for temporary workers, and that's been a big sticking point with the union. You know, we've got people working 3 or 4 or 5 years without on a temporary basis without reaching full-time status. So I know that that's a big one. I think they're going to get a richer signing bonus than they've gotten in the past. Last time they got $8,000 just to ratify the contract. It'll be more this time. Healthcare will essentially stay the same, and these are some of the best healthcare benefits you can find. So all in all, you know, I think a pretty good deal for the union, but we'll see if this thing gets ratified.
And you already anticipated my next question, which is what the next steps are here. We know the strike will continue for now, and union leaders are scheduled to meet with GM officials in Detroit tomorrow on Thursday. So what happens then?
Yeah, there's more than 100 union leaders from all around these different local union chapters around the country. They're coming into Detroit tomorrow. They're going to meet as a council, and this group will decide not only whether or not this tentative agreement looks okay to bring back to their members, but we're also going to make what is going to be a billion-dollar decision, give or take, as to whether or not the workers will stay out on the picket lines or go back to work while they await a ratification vote. It's a big decision. There's sort of various theories as to whether or not it makes sense to go back to work or stay out. And these leaders are going to make that decision, and it's going to have big implications one way or another on GM's bottom line.
So speaking of financials, we know this has been a costly strike so far for both sides. What has been the impact on General Motors and on its workers?
Yeah, for GM, you know, this comes straight off the bottom line. I mean, they're still selling cars at dealerships because they had inventory there. But the way that the car business works is they book revenue as soon as a car leaves the plant to go to a dealership. And so they started losing money from day one. And our best estimates are $1.5 to $2 billion is what's going to come off the bottom line just from lost production and just general disruption from the strike. So that's hurt. Their stock's down a little bit since the strike began, maybe not as much as you'd think. And for workers, you know, they're out. I think the last estimate I saw was $3,000 or $4,000 of take-home pay has been lost. And they also, you know, these workers get substantial bonuses for profit sharing at the end of the year for GM. This is cut into GM's profits, and therefore it's cut into the workers' profit sharing checks by as much as $1,000 to $2,000 is the estimate.
And even if the two sides do sign this agreement, you point out in your piece for the Wall Street Journal some other challenges ahead. To name a few, the UAW is losing members amid a multi-year federal corruption investigation. And General Motors also has plans to close additional factories in the United States, which was one of the sticking points in this strike.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that this is why this has been such a tough battle this time, is because there's so much uncertainty on both sides. I mean, for the union, you're right, they have been losing membership. They failed to organize some of the foreign automakers' U.S. operations over the last several years. So it's sort of a fight for survival for them. And they also know what GM knows, which is we're likely to see a downturn in the market at some point, probably over this next four-year period. The market's been very strong. The economy's been good. You know, this is a cyclical business. And so both sides know that can change. And there's a lot of just disruption going on in terms of the pivot that the industry is making to electric cars. That's got implications for the workforce because it doesn't take as many workers to put together electric cars as it does gas-powered cars. And so there's all these things sort of swirling around these talks that have really made each side dig in and try not to overextend, you know, if you're the company, not overextend your costs going into this next 4 years.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Mike Colias joining us from Detroit. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.
Speaking of strikes in the Midwest, Chicago's mayor has canceled public school classes on Thursday ahead of an expected strike by the city's teachers union. And they are raising issues you don't normally hear about in contract talks, like how to help the nearly 17,000 Chicago public school students struggling with homelessness. Joining me now via Skype with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Tonell Hobbs. Tonell, Chicago teachers aren't negotiating for just wages and benefits here. As you write, the concerns they're raising are going beyond what you would typically see in contract negotiations. Tell us about some of the issues they've raised.
Well, you know, of course, they would like to see salary increases and they want to see more support staff added. But they also, we've noticed that they're also kind of wading into some of these social issues, like they want more help for the homeless students, and they want housing assistance for staffers, and they want sanctuary protections for immigrant students. And it's just not Chicago. There's been other places where you've seen them kind of go beyond just focused on the classroom to try to encompass some of the social issues, too.
Right. As we've seen a national wave of teacher strikes, are we also seeing something of a sea change in what contract discussions are focusing on, as we're seeing here in Chicago right now?
Definitely. I mean, they are definitely extending beyond just typically what you would see with the salary and even just with expanding the support staff. There's been other districts that have focused on putting caps just on the charter schools, capping how many students they can have. That's been a growing battle between traditional public schools and charter schools enrollment. So they're starting to really kind of look at charter enrollment and they want caps on those. But, you know, it's just gone beyond what we traditionally see with salaries. And actually, in some of these cases, if it was just about salary, they'd probably be able to come to an agreement. But it's beyond that. And, you know, I was talking to some national union people, and they just believe that teachers are at a point now where you got to take up these social issues and try to address some inequities to help students. And that's what we're seeing, and we're seeing it a lot more.
What are we hearing from the school district in response to teachers' concerns in Chicago?
The people running the school district, they obviously don't want to strike. And they feel like the teacher union is just kind of, as this negotiation process goes along, they're adding more wants in there. Oh, no, we want more money, or, you know, we want to be able to accumulate our sick leave, or, you know, so they are concerned that they feel like as the negotiations go on, that the union is adding in more and more and more, and it's just not realistic. They feel that they would be able to meet all those demands, financially meet those demands. So there is concern with the school district, and obviously no school district wants a strike, because when you have a strike, obviously most school districts, or a lot of them, will have to close down. And even if they leave their buildings open, like in Chicago, the school buildings will be open, but they won't have classes because, well, the teachers aren't there.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Tonnell Hobbs. Thank you so much, Tonnell.
Thank you.
What do you think about teachers striking over social issues that go beyond pay and benefits? Let us know by emailing us at whatsnews@wsj.com or by tweeting us at WSJ Podcasts. And that's What's News for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.